Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown, and today is Tuesday, June 10th, 2014, and in case you're wondering why I play that piece of music to open, the other people that do the Blog Talk Radio shows have some opening, and this was the shortest one I could find. So how do you like that? Anyway, as always, you are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. And every week, my goal is to bring more love and happiness, more joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. And as always, I ask you to listen to each show with the idea of getting one thing out of the show that you can take into your daily life. And always, and as always, at the end, I'll ask what that is for you. Lots of you have more than one. And today's show is going to be on self-acceptance. Our opening quote is by Steve Mirabelli. And it is, "When I accept myself, I am freed from the burden of needing you to accept me." And my opening funny story, I hope, is a man died and went to the judgment. And they told him, "Before you meet with God, I should tell you, we've looked over your life, and to be really honest with you, we didn't see anything particularly good or bad. We're really not sure what we should do with you. Can you tell us anything you did that will help us make a decision?" The newly arrived soul thought for a moment and replied, "Yep. Once I was driving along and came upon a person who was being harassed by a group of thugs. So I pulled over, got out a bat, and went up to the leader of the thugs. He was a big, muscular guy with a ring pierced through his lip. Well, I tore the ring out of his lip and told him he and his gang had better stop bothering this guy or they'd have to deal with me." "Wow, that's impressive. When did this happen?" "Oh, about 3 minutes ago." Are you laughing? I never know. Anyway, I've been gone for a while and just want to catch you up before we get started. We took a great cruise from Fort Lauderdale to St. Petersburg, Russia. And I don't know, some of the highlights. It's really neat to travel the world and meet people that you know. And Emily Walton used to be the lady who booked me to speak on Princess Cruises, and she works in Fort Lauderdale now, so we had breakfast with her before we left. And when we got to Southampton, we met with our friends Alan and Helga, and I'll talk more about them later. They live in London, and they came down to Southampton, and we had tea at a hotel in Britain. And then the really cool thing was we met Patty in Paris, and everything didn't seem like we were going to meet her, because I emailed her and I said, the bus will be getting in about 11 o'clock. She had emailed me and said, "I'll get there at 12 o'clock, and I don't know where the place is." She lived in Paris for 14, 15 years. And I went, "Oh, my God." And then they tell us that the park that we're near is huge. Long story short, we got out of the bus, and there were about 60 buses lined up and parked, and we started to walk toward the park, and there she was waving her hand. So we had a great time. We took a boat ride on the Seine. River and had lunch together, and off we went. And then we went to Kerkhof in the Netherlands, and I wanted to go to the Tulip Festival, and it was raining, so I had to hustle through the Tulip Festival in the rain, and I have tremendous pictures. I wish next time I have more time. And then we went to Oslo, and I have huge parks there, and we went to Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen, and it was raining there and cold, and it was beautiful. And the thing that surprised me about this area of the world, this first time we had been there, in Holland we knew, or the Netherlands we knew, that they had tulips, but they had tulips in Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Germany, Estonia, and Russia, which I had no idea about. I love flowers, in case you don't know. And then we got back. We spent three nights. We were in Tallinn in Estonia. And they have an old town, a 14th century town. And the workers are dressed in medieval costumes. I love that kind of thing. The narrow, winding, cobblestone streets. And they have a big square, and we had lattes in the square. And just had a marvelous time. Got a great picture of a little girl posing for her mommy and kissing. And I love it. I love it. And St. Petersburg was awesome because we hired a guide and a driver for 3 days, which we've never done before. So we went everywhere, and when we went into the palaces, then the driver would go to wherever we were at the end. The guide would call him, and all that stuff was set up. So that was marvelous, and we went to the ballet and saw Midsummer Night's Dream in the Mariinsky Theater, which is in its 231st season. And then last Tuesday, I had hernia surgery. And we don't need to go into that, other than those of you who have had it know what we're talking about. But everything is fine. And what I want to talk about probably for the next 2 months is happiness. And I believe, and this is my point of view, that everybody in the world wants to be happy. And an overwhelming majority of those people believe that happiness comes from outside circumstances, whether it's going on a vacation like this, whether it's feeling better after hernia surgery, graduating, buying a home, getting a promotion, getting a job, getting married, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my point of view is those things provide us with a temporary external sense of happiness. But to me, when we're talking about true happiness, we want that to be able to come from within ourselves. And that is something that's permanent, and it's not contingent upon any one thing or more than one thing that's going on externally in our life. So what I've put together are 9 programs that will deal with different aspects of things that I consider to be elements that we need to be happy. Now, some of these things are going to sound like external stuff, like setting boundaries. And I also think that's an intricate part of being happy. We have to take control of our life, and we have to stop being a victim. So let me go through the 9 and let you know that each week for the next 9 weeks, we'll be covering one of them. And the first one this week is self-acceptance. And obviously, I believe that self-acceptance is the first one, because until I can accept myself just the way I am, how can I accept you? How can I accept others? How can I accept my life circumstances? And then what I thought I'd do was the next one will be on self-love. And I thought, well, I could combine self-acceptance and self-love. But I'm thinking, I want you to think about or talk to your friends about this concept of self-acceptance before we move into self-love. So for that reason, I've decided just today's show is going to be on self-acceptance. Then next week's show will be on self-love. We'll talk about some of the things we've talked about today. We'll talk about the things you need to do and what the brainwashing has been in our life. And we're going to talk about this in every one of these programs, how each and every one of us, through the universe we live in, which is the people we know and the people we come in contact with, have taught us or brainwashed us into believing this is the way it is. And very few people say, hey, you are a powerful human being. You have the ability, the power to create whatever you want in your life. Most people want you to say, oh, no, you can't do that. You got to be afraid of this. You got to be afraid of that. Maybe you'll lose your job. Maybe you'll lose your money. Maybe you'll lose your health. And you got to say, no, I don't choose to believe that. I choose to create my belief system about how my life works for me. And what do I say each time when we begin? And the goal here is for you to bring more love into your life, to bring more happiness, to bring more joy, more compassion, more peace, and bring more abundance into your life. And I'm here to say that that is your choice, nobody else's choice. And if you say, hey, Jim, I don't agree with you, that's fine. Then what I'm saying is, then what you're saying is, I'm a victim. And outside circumstances have complete control of my life. And it's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. So, my question for you then, which is one of, if that's your belief system, one of my better, more enjoyable quotes from Dr. Phil is, how's that working for you? So, I got something caught in my teeth. Shouldn't do that, should I? Okay, that's better. So today will be on self-acceptance, next week will be on self-love, and then in 2 weeks we'll do it on setting boundaries. And that is, we got to tell people what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. The fourth one, which is something that's new to my life, and I say new in the last 2 to 3 years, and finding that I find it's absolutely a necessity in order for us to enjoy our life and interact with each other, and that's compassion. So often, we have very little compassion for other people. And when I did the program on listening and told you about when Rosemary was in the hospital in December, and I told people she had shingles, and all I heard was horror stories about so-and-so had shingles, and this one had it on their face, and this one had it for 10 years, and this one had nerve damage, and this and that. And then when I was going in for the hernia surgery, oh, man, that takes so long. And this morning at yoga, after yoga, I mentioned it to the yoga teacher that I had hernia surgery last week, and she said, wow, you did really great, and blah, blah, blah. Well, a woman who was sitting next to me heard me. Well, my husband had hernia at the Hollywood Bowl, and we had to take him to the hospital. And yet there's somebody else from yoga, 83-year-old woman, who had double hernia surgery in April, and the next day she walked 3 miles. And I said to my wife, that's how mine's going to be. And her response was, don't count on it. So people are going to be out there to discourage you, to think it won't work. So you really want to be careful with who you share your dreams with, because there's a lot of people out there who want to rain on your parade. And the saying for that is, misery loves company. So the fifth week, we're going to combine love plus compassion to equal happiness. And we've talked about the idea that happiness is an inside job. And then the sixth week, we've talked about this before, but we're going to talk about it in context of it being part of happiness. And that is forgiveness. And it's healing your past. We all need to be more forgiving of ourselves and of other people. And then the seventh week is going to be on gratitude, and that is to be grateful for everything we have. My optometrist's son is in the Marines, and he's going to be deployed to Africa. And she knows one of the things he's going to have a horrible time with, and a lot of the Marines are, is seeing the children starving. And we in the United States have a sense of, well, gee whiz, you know, I didn't have the dessert today or whatever it happens to be. So our goal is to be grateful for everything we have in our life and see everything as a blessing and see everything as something that's given to us as a gift. No matter what it is, look for the gift in everything that happens to you. And the eighth week, we're going to talk about joy, which is fairly simple if you let go and you don't be concerned about how people are going to look at you. So that's going to be the last one, which is to have fun, to laugh, to play, to be silly. Because as I've quoted many times from Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me, What Other People Think of You is None of Your Business. Well, what you think of me is none of my business. And I haven't talked to Terry. We've emailed back and forth, and she wants to be on the show. She's agreed to be on the show. And as soon as I work out a date with her, I'll let you know that Terry Cole Whitaker is going to be on her show. So now, after all this, we can get into today's show. So in my opinion, a happy, satisfying, peaceful life starts with being able to accept ourselves just the way we are. Now, every one of us has stuff, okay? Every one of us has a dark side. That's part of our human nature. And we have to learn how to embrace that and say, okay, that's here, that's part of who I am, that's what I'm trying to learn and grow through. We did a program on patience because I'm not a whole lot patient person, particularly with Rosemarie. It's almost 47 years, and she's still the master electrician. She has all my buttons wired, and she, you know, presses them every day, and I still get sucked into it. And other things. So each one of us has something that we don't want to parade in front of somebody else. Let it go. We're all here together. When I went into surgery, and I was in the surgical suite, and the anesthesiologist was there, and then there were three nurses there, and I said, as they were giving me the anesthetic, and I don't know how much of it I finished, to me, our goal in life, number one, is to take care of each other, and number two is to heal from our past pain. And I hold to that, and I've told you many times before, I tell everybody two things. One is, all I have here is a point of view. And number two, please be true to yourself. So I'm going to go through, I think I put down 23 different reasons that people don't accept themselves. How about, I'm too old? Or I'm too young. We met a couple on this cruise that are 94 years old and have been married for 71 years, and he has a pilot's license, and he still flies his Cessna every week. And one day they did a testing, and they shut the electricity off in the elevators, and they walked up from the 5th floor to the 15th floor. Too old, huh? How about too young? How many of you remember Maddie Stepanek? Maddie died from, I believe it was muscular dystrophy. He was on Oprah at least three or four times. Maddie Stepanek is the best-selling poet in the 20th century. He died at 12 or 13. Too young, huh? How about I'm too tall or I'm too short? Look at the woman who plays the head of the department at NCIS Los Angeles. She can't be more than 4'6". Or how about I'm too heavy, or I'm too thin? How many of you, and I think women work toward this, I'm ugly? Which I don't understand. My wife won't say it in those words, but I just look at her and I say, I love you. I don't love the way your face looks, the way your body looks. Sometimes that can get you in trouble, can't it? But that's the truth. It doesn't matter how she looks. Next one I have down here is, I don't have enough education. Well, Les Brown was told he didn't have enough education, and he went on a radio show, and he went on to become famous as a speaker. He married Gladys Knight. Didn't have enough education. What about, let's see, some of the other people that they were told that they're not good enough? Well, Fred Astaire was told he couldn't dance, he couldn't sing. Einstein. Michael Jordan got cut from his sophomore team in high school. You know, so we got to go, well, I don't accept that. I don't accept because somebody else tells me that. How about I got too much education? I got a PhD, I got an MD, I got a, you know, whatever. And then the next one I have here is, well, I belong to this religion or that religion. Next one would be, I'm black, or I'm a woman, or I'm a foreigner, or I speak with a foreign accent and people don't understand me, or I'm gay, I'm lesbian. We had dinner on the cruise with two men, and they weren't with each other. This was the third cruise they had been on together. And they, during dinner, they told us that they were gay. Doesn't make any difference to me. It's what you do in your home is your business. that's my attitude toward life. We got to live and let live. You live your life the way you want to live your life, and I'll live mine the way I want. We don't want to get into talking about guns and violence. Next one I have here is I'm not smart enough. Well, what does smart mean? People tell me, you're really smart. I don't think so at all. Matter of fact, you know, I'm in the Guinness World Book of Records for having the most amount of time possible on academic probation for somebody with a master's degree. I went on academic probation my first semester freshman year and got off 20 minutes after graduation. Following year, I got into Loyola University graduate business program on academic probation, and I was supposed to get two B's, and I got a B and an F. And because I was a department head at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago, it was free tuition. So I figured, well, okay, I'll sign up for the next quarter and wait for them to kick me out. They never did. So technically, I was in graduate school the entire time before I got my MBA on academic probation. So what? I can help people. I know that. I know when I speak on a cruise, somebody's life is going to be changed. I know through this radio show, people's lives are changed. And if you want to call in, you know the number. It's on the top there. It happens to be 646-595-2831. So don't beat yourself up and say you're not smart enough. Compared to what? Compared to who? That's what I love about yoga. It says life's not a competition. What you did in the last yoga class versus today or versus the person next to you versus your right side or your left side, it's not a competition. Each one of us got unique set of gifts. And I want you to remember that you're the only person that God has ever given the gifts that she has given to you. So be with us. And the question I hear her saying is, honey, will you please share your gifts with us? Don't be afraid of what other people think of you. Just share the gifts that are unique to you alone. And when you do that, we all win. How about I don't have enough money? How much is enough money? We see these people worth billions of dollars, and they don't have enough money. A psychologist asked a radio announcer asked the psychologist whether he'd rather treat wealthy patients or poor patients. And instantly he said wealthy patients. And he said, why? He says, because I don't have to convince wealthy people that money isn't the solution to their problem. They already know. When I went to Tony Robbins seminars in the 80s, he said the only difference between people who are wealthy and people who don't have a lot of money are that the people who are wealthy arrive at their problems in grander style. Next one I have here is, well, I'm handicapped. Well, let me say something about that. We're all handicapped. We all have a handicap. Some of the handicaps are more visible than others. Doesn't make any difference. So remember, we're here to take care of each other. We're not here to compete with each other, to beat up on each other. Like right now, they're playing the NBA Finals for the basketball championship and the NHL Finals for the hockey championship. And that's their whole world, is winning. All that matters is winning. Do anything to win. My personal opinion is I don't play in that world. I don't have to compete. I'm me. I'm going to be me. And you keep coming back and listening to these shows, obviously because you're okay with me being me. So if you're okay with me being me, then be okay with you being you. Oh, that reminds me. I've talked about Dorothy before, and I know she's listening. She might call, too, because I know Dorothy. And she'll say, we talk about how our body talks to us, and I had a show about that. And she says, yeah, my body talks to me. And I tell it to shut up. Oh, well, Dorothy. Anyway, the next one I have here is, well, I have a prison record. Okay? Your point is, you know, and move on with your life. How about I gave my baby up for adoption, so I don't deserve to accept myself. I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible father. Or I did this terrible, unforgivable thing. Pardon me. or I was raped, or I was molested. A lot of times people blame themselves. And as a matter of fact, there's something that was written today by, I think, George Will, or someone saying that the women who get raped want to get raped, and it's just absolute insanity. So guilt is the whole game. How about my parents got divorced because of me? You know, oh my, or how about if I'm divorced? So I can go on and on and on about the different things that you and I and others say are what we call reasons for why we don't deserve to accept ourselves just the way we are. And you can come up with all these reasons why you shouldn't accept yourself the way you are. And I say it's nonsense. Absolute, utter nonsense. What do you have to do in order to accept yourself just the way you are? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. You don't have to do anything. This is your birthright. I'm going to take a minute here, minute and a half, I guess it is, and play some music, and then we'll get into this in more detail. So let's get into this whole concept of self-acceptance. Basically, what we're saying is that when we judge, criticize, and condemn ourselves, is that we're human and we're exhibiting traits of being human. Every one of us has fault, like I said earlier. Every one of us has made mistakes. Every one of us has said and done things that we regret and we're sorry for. In our mind, there's this mythical standard that we have to comply with before we deserve to be acceptable in our eyes. We've been brainwashed, and we believe all these things are true. They're not true. They're a myth. They're an illusion. All that you have to do and be all these things in order to be acceptable. You don't. Again, my point of view is you don't have to do anything to be acceptable. Being acceptable is your birthright. I'm asking you to accept this gift with love and gratitude. It's been there your whole life. Today, you can say, okay, I'm going to open my birthday gift. And my birthday gift and its gifts, because today the gift you're going to open is the gift of accepting myself just the way I am. Go into the mirror and look at yourself and say, hey, I accept you just the way you are. Or I accept me just the way I am. So you accept this gift with love and gratitude. The problem with having any or some or all these criteria that we talked about that need to be met in order for you to feel you deserve you deserve to feel that you are accepted, is that there is a right or a wrong, that there is a good or a bad, that everything in life has to be earned. My point of view is all of this is an illusion. And on these cruises, there's always a magician. Do you know they don't call them magicians anymore? They call them illusionists. And I think all this stuff is an illusion, that it's right, that it's wrong. How about killing? They say killing is wrong. But if you kill in war, you can be a war hero. You kill someone who's doing something wrong, you're a hero. It's good. You kill the wrong person, it's bad. So what is it? Let's just be who we are and let our intuition, let our instinct tell us what's right for us and what's wrong for us, or what we should do or shouldn't do. To me, you're here to have fun, to love, to be happy, to be filled with joy. If you carry all these burdens of judging, criticizing, condemning, or handicaps around with you, how are you going to ever have a life filled with happiness, with joy, with love, with peace? It's going to be impossible. So consider this. You were born with a divine birthright, beloved and loving, to be happy, to receive all the abundance life has to offer. Again, all you have to do is accept this divine gift. We've gone through some of these, and some reasons that people say these things. And if you want to go back to the one, you can do this two ways. One is you can say, okay, I accept myself just the way I am. Or two, you go back and you come up with your list of reasons. Of course, the reasons in your mind's eye. They're not valid reasons, but to you, they are valid. In other words, if to you the earth is flat, the earth is flat. Doesn't make it flat. That belief doesn't make it flat. But you've got to look at it, and you've got to say, okay, take any one of these and say, what would I have to believe that would allow me to accept myself just the way I am? You know, if you say you're too short, or you don't have enough education, or you're too old, or whatever, each one of us has value in who we are. And I have about 15 or 20 of the Chicken Soup books, and I love the stories. And an example that comes to my mind, two come to my mind. One is of a freshman in high school who's going home from school on a Friday afternoon and has all his books, and one of the kids hits him or bumps into him and knocks the books out of his arms, and he's on his hands and knees picking up the books. And a friend comes along, and not actually a friend, somebody he knew, comes along and helps him pick up the books, helps him carry them home, and they become really good friends. And at their high school graduation, this kid that dropped his books was the class valedictorian, and he's given a speech, and he said, I took my books home that Friday to commit suicide, and I didn't want to make my mother have to go back to pick up my books. And when he helped me with my books, I didn't have to commit suicide. I can go on and on with stories like that, and none of us realize the impact we have on other people because we don't get the feedback. But because we don't get the feedback doesn't mean that we aren't impacting people's lives and that we aren't making a difference in people's lives. We're always making a difference in people's lives. Just trust it. If you feel the need to do this for yourself with this belief, like I said, ask yourself, what do I have to believe in order for me to accept myself just the way I am? We're all imperfect human beings. We've all been brainwashed by people who want power and control. And the way they do this is through fear. By getting us to believe we're not good enough, we feel like we're separate, like we're alone, and like we have no power. I'm looking here. Somebody somebody is on the line with an 818 number, 992. If she wants to talk, hit the 1. Right now the question mark is still there, so I assume she doesn't want to talk, she or he. The point is that if we buy into this stuff that we're not good enough, what it does is make us feel like we're separate, like we're alone, like we have no power, like we're victims. So I'm here to say one thing to you, basically, take back your power and never give it away to anybody for any reason. Not me, not anybody, not your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, anybody. It's your life. You came here to make an incredible difference, and you can make that difference. So you deserve to accept yourself just the way you are today. You can choose to do this, or you can choose to continue that you have to do things in order for you to find yourself acceptable. It's your choice. It's your life. And you have the power to create the life you want. If the life you have is the life you want, then you keep doing what you've been doing. If you want your life to be different, then you got to change the way you look at it, change the way you do things. So, one more time. Start this by accepting yourself just the way you are. Now, I say you've got to start with yourself because you can't accept me and you can't accept other people in your life the way they are if you can't accept yourself the way you are. So when you can accept yourself the way you are, then you can accept other people who are too old, too young, too fat, too thin, too tall, too short, too much education, not enough education, divorced, never married, have too much money, don't have enough money, are handicapped. You know, we can go on and on with all that stuff. Then you can just accept them because they are. We don't go out driving a car and say, well, this car is better than that car, this one's... They're all cars. They all have a... Each owner has a different reason for having that particular car. It fulfills a different need in each person's life. Some are big, some are small. Some are red, some are black. Some are white, some are silver. What difference does it make? Be who you came here to be. Be yourself. So now, in order for either of these things to happen, you have to shift from one who criticizes, judges, and condemns to one who only observes the path that you and others are on. So think about this for a minute. You get to accept yourself just the way you are by giving up the enormous burden of judging everything you think, say, or do. Let me go over that again. You get to accept yourself just the way you are by giving up the enormous burden of judging everything you think, say, or do. Then you get to surrender the job of criticizing everything and just observe it. Now, this is not something that you're going to go out after you listen to this and say, okay, now I'm just an observer of life and go, wow, look at that, look at this, look at that. We're going to keep judging. But what we want to do is say, I judge that. Let me just look at it as it is. It is what it is. We are who we are. We're all unique. We're all one of a kind. So let's enjoy the diversity that we have in our world. Whether it's because of our color, because of our sex, because of our religion, because of our age, our education, our financial status. Just enjoy everybody that you come in contact with. Look for the beauty in everybody. When we were on the cruise, I told you about these two gay guys, and the one guy was saying he met a woman who was from Asia, and she was a racist, and she was saying that people from this country are honkies and people from that country are this and that and the other thing. And the next day, we were at a lunch together, and he was outside of the room talking to her. And he said, this is a racist I told you about last night at dinner. And she starts in. And I had to walk away because I was about to tell her off. And then after I, you know, got away and sat down and said, how would I have wanted to handle a situation The way I would have wanted to handle it was to say to her, "My wish for you is that your heart will be open to see the beauty in everybody you ever come in contact with. And number two, that your mind will relieve you of the burden of judging and criticizing and condemning everybody you see." And that's an enormous burden we have, isn't it? To judge, to condemn, to criticize, either because they're better than us or they're worse than us. Doesn't make any difference which way that goes, does it? So you're gonna every time you find yourself criticizing, condemning, judging, just say, "Ah, whoa, let me just look at it. Let's just look at it, see the way it is. Let it flow." When we were in Tallinn in Estonia, the driver gave us this great book cover. And here's four ladies that you've never seen in the United States. And again, I don't know where you are in the world listening to this, so I'm assuming most of you are in the United States. And here are four old ladies who have babushkas on and dresses on and sweaters on, and they're driving 2 3-wheel motorcycles. And one is sitting, obviously one's driving and one is sitting. And they have this biggest smile on their face, and it's just awesome. In the United States, women and men, they don't have the map of their life on their face. In the foreign countries we've gone to, very often the men and the women have a map of life on their face. And I just love it. So be aware and just enjoy the uniqueness of everybody without feeling that you need to judge them, criticize them, or condemn them. So when you surrender the need to judge, criticize, and condemn yourself, it's really easy to giving up, obviously, judging, criticizing, condemning others. So imagine for a minute what your life would be like if you have been relieved of the burden of judging, criticizing, and condemning. And I'm going to give you a minute to think about what your life would be like when you no longer have the burden of judging, criticizing, and condemning. Okay, so what's it like? Is it something that you'd like to move into? Is it something you can be comfortable with the rest of your life? Just being a human being and not worrying about what anybody thinks about you and not judging anybody else, criticizing them or condemning them or yourself, and accept that you make mistakes. Have you ever seen a baby trying to learn how to walk and falls down and lays on the floor and says, "Oh, I give up. I'll never be able to walk"? Every one of us. We fell on our face. We fell on our bottom. We fell on our side. And we kept getting up. So don't worry about if you judge, criticize, or condemn. Just be aware of it and say, "Nah, I'm just gonna take a look at it." And so what if you have to say that 1,000 times before it becomes part of who you are? Because 1,000 times from now, if you don't, you'll still be judging, criticizing, and condemning. But if you start now, 1,000 times from now, maybe you do it half the time. Observe your life. Observe the life of others. Accept who you are just the way you are. Then you can reach out to others and accept them the way you are, the way they are. So it's like waking up in the morning and being 100 pounds lighter. Now, you know, obviously if you don't weigh 100 pounds, don't get literal on me. It gives you a new way of looking at your life. Instantly, you're on a new path. So what does that path look like? Boiling this down to one thing, we're looking at you accepting the idea that you're fine just the way you are. And you can accept yourself just the way you are. Now, I'm at 2:45 here, so we're a little early. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this closing story, and we'll probably will be done in another 6 or 7 minutes. So this will be a little bit shorter. Like I said, when I thought about it, I thought, well, I could combine the two. But what I really want for you to do is to really think about and practice the idea of accepting yourself the way you are. And if you want to send me an email, it's jim@jimbrownspeaker.com and share with us the things that you caught that when you switch from judging somebody or criticizing someone to accepting the way it is, or yourself. You got to start with yourself. Now, this closing story has absolutely nothing to do with what we talked about today. And I've gotten to the place where I get these, what I call divine suggestions, and I don't know why I'm doing them, but I accept them and I just do them. And what I'm saying is that this is for somebody out there. I don't know who you are. I need all of you to listen to this story closely, because somebody out there that's listening to this, this is something that's either for you or somebody in your life. And this story comes from a book called Creating Miracles. That's Creating Miracles, and the author is Carolyn Miller. And the story is on page 61 of Creating Miracles. Obviously, you can go online for it. And it's about Gino. At 23, Gino nearly died of a serious illness. His condition was critical, but after weeks in the hospital and months in a convalescent facility, he was finally able to go home. However, it would be too much to say that he had recovered. His life would never be the same. It seems that the infection had destroyed most of Gino's liver. His doctor had the unpleasant task of explaining to him that it would never regenerate itself. Gino's health would always be fragile, and for the rest of his life, he would have to be hooked up to a machine that would do for him what his devastated liver could not. With the disability money he received from the state, Gino was able to rent a tiny apartment. His many friends pitched in to do the shopping and the cooking and run his errands. Bedridden and permanently attached by tubes to a machine that had to be wheeled along with him on trips to the bathroom, this once athletic young man tried to keep his spirits up despite the knowledge that he was going to spend the rest of his life as an invalid. Gino had a lot of time on his hands. In an effort to relieve his boredom, one of his friends bought him a book, Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. That's ShaktiGawain. And the title of the book, again, is Creative Visualization. In it, Gawain described an ancient spiritual technique for changing reality. She said that you could actually heal yourself by altering the way you pictured things in your mind. Glad to fill his tedious days and sleepless nights with some constructive activity, Gino began to visualize the healing of his liver. I used to lie there and work on my liver one cell at a time, Gino told me years later when he was attending the graduate school where I taught. It was just too damn depressing to focus on the whole thing at once. My liver appeared in my mind's eye like this big black blob, all discolored and flabby and with just this one little area of pink healthy tissue. So I would lie in bed imagining myself with this teensy weensy little toothbrush, scrubbing the crud off of one single cell, rinsing it carefully, and then gently massaging in magical medicines. I don't know that I seriously thought it was going to help, but it was something to do. There is just so much television a person can watch. After months wore on, Gino became a little stronger. He could move about his apartment more easily and prepare meals for himself, but he continued to fill his idle hours by mentally tending his liver cells. Sometimes when he was alone, he would even croon to them like a loving father, urging the little guys to take heart and heal themselves. And each day, the liver in his visualization looked slightly improved, little by little. There got to be more pink, healthy cells and fewer crud-encrusted black ones. One day, as he was stepping out of his tiny kitchen, Gino caught the tubing on the edge of the counter. A sudden move on his part, and he felt the agonizing pain as the plastic umbilicus was ripped out of his body. His doctor had warned him that such an eventuality could be fatal, and Gino lost no time in phoning the paramedics. Gino's doctor met him in the emergency room looking grim. I have to operate, but I want to do some tests first so I know where we stand. The nurse is going to take you down from some x-rays and stuff while I get scrubbed. The tests were quickly completed, and Gino was prepped for surgery. After a short wait, however, the nurse returned and told him that something had gone wrong with his test. They would have to be repeated. Gino was put through another battery and again left to wait. This time it was his doctor who appeared with an apologetic expression. These tests were no good either. How about one more round? However, after the third battery was complete, Gino's doctor strode into the room and eyed him with speculation. He waved the sheath of results in the air and demanded, "Where the hell did you get this liver?" "What?" Gino replied weakly. "This isn't your liver. I know your liver, and this isn't it." Gino was nonplussed. "What do you mean? What's wrong?" he asked. "That's just it," the physician exclaimed. "Nothing is wrong. There isn't a damn thing wrong with this liver. You left here 5 months ago with almost no liver function, and now you show up with this perfectly good liver? And what I want to know is, how the hell did you do that?" "Gonna believe this, Doc. But it must have been that visualization I've been doing. For hours every day, I've been visualizing my liver healing. I guess it did." Gino was right about one thing. His doctor never did believe that the visualization could have worked such a miracle. Not that he had any other theories on how to explain how it could have happened. In the last paragraph, she says, "When I knew Gino 10 years ago, he was a vital, energetic man in his 30s with an unshakable belief in the power of mind over matter. This is what had led him to study psychology. As a psychotherapist, he hoped to have many people heal themselves by reinforcing their thinking." I mentioned the couple that we had tea with in Southampton. So, Alan, this is for you. I sent this to you. Helga told me that you got it, and hopefully you might find it more valuable in listening to it. For anybody else who has somebody in their life that this would be valuable to, from my observation here on the clock, I started this at about 45 minutes into the program, and it went to about 53 minutes into the program. If you want to just, you know, cue that up and share it with somebody. I don't know why I did this. I know that there's somebody out here who needs to have this sense of hope. And I believe, again, what we're here to do is to take care of each other. And a friend of mine, Robert Henry, the month he died, said, "No matter what, never take hope away from me." So if there's someone out there that needs this hope, let's share it with them. And together, we'll take care of each other. And we'll love ourselves just the way we are. So remember that you're there, you're here to accept yourself just the way you are. Our closing quote today is, "There is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path. There is no path to love. Love is the path. There is no path to peace. Peace is the path." As always, my last question is, what's the most important thing that you got out of today's show? Come join me next Tuesday, and that show is going to be on self-love. As always, I send love from my heart to your heart, and I ask you to receive this love and share it. There's an infinite supply of love for us to share with each other. Thank you, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.